And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
It's Tuesday, January 19th, 2016, and this is The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, The Convert.
Cold enough for you out there?
Ooh, it is cold, and snow's a-coming,
snow,
brother.
Yeah, 2 to 4 inches.
Well, yeah, and then somebody said 6 inches at some point on one of the forecasts last night. Now, today they're still saying 2 to 4, so you never know who to believe.
Well, you know, and I don't know about you. Do you have a service that comes out and does your driveway?
Well, yeah, it's called Vicky.
Well, I always say the Lord put it there. He can take it away.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, you and I are lucky. We don't really have any place we have to get up
that's,
and go to work. And
that's true, except here we got a show every
right,
week.
Right, so we did get in here this morning,
right.
and if we have to shovel snow in the morning, I guess that's what we'll do. Let's pray that everybody's safe out there.
Yes, absolutely.
In these cold temperatures and with some snow coming. Check your vehicles and make sure everything's ready. You know, a little safety kit in the car is a good thing.
Water. Water's something people don't think of. They think, oh, it's cold. I don't want to be drinking cold water. Well, hey, when you're thirsty, folks.
Yeah, and a candle with a little pan so you could melt some snow if you had to.
There you go.
One of those aluminum blankets or something like that. Spare gloves and a hat.
Yep.
I put a kit together like that for Sherry every year because she drives to Springfield to work over at St. John's Hospital. And, you know, I put it in her back seat. I don't put it in the trunk
no.
in case she would spin off into the ditch.
That's exactly right.
You know, you've got to be prepared. There's
and you should also, brother, have an empty jug to get rid of that water that you consume while you're stuck there. You know, you never know.
Well, that's true. That's true.
How things are when you can't and you want to.
Yep. Hey, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I want to shout out to my dad. He passed away a year ago this evening at 8:45 p.m.
Yep, eternal joy.
Yes, indeed. And I got texts from my three beautiful daughters this morning that reminded me that they're all missing him very much here in this world, but they feel him alive and among us. And my oldest daughter, as you well know, your niece, Dave, she had a baby 9 months ago yesterday. And that little guy from almost day one, when she was feeding him a bottle or holding him and talking to him, he would look past her head and just grin.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always said that was he's looking at a great-grandpa.
Oh,
you know, great-grandpa
nice.
Standing up there grinning at him. We told my oldest daughter when she was born that her grandfather, her grandpa Folk, had given up his slot for her. And Dad certainly gave his up for Keaton and though we miss him, it's not a grief thing because we all feel his presence very much. And folks, if you're grieving now over a loss of someone, then I hope you're able to feel their presence because they do live on.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. That's a beautiful thought and a nice sentiment. Thanks. Hey, you know, this is the year of mercy. The Pope declared this year the year of mercy.
Yes.
And I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit tonight about how to be merciful.
That's a good thing.
And, you know,
thing.
The Catechism gives us the exact path to follow on how to be merciful.
Yes, it does.
There's the corporal works of mercy.
Yes.
And then there's the spiritual works of mercy. Now, I don't know if you listen to the station during the day.
Yes.
I try to, and when I'm in the car, I do.
Yeah, I do.
And, you know, we did some spots on the show, or for the show, called This Is What Catholics Believe.
Yes.
And we took the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy, the, there's 4 or 5 different things out of the catechism
yes.
about what Catholics believe.
That's right.
And, you know, if you hear something enough, you begin to kind of memorize
it. Oh, absolutely.
And so that was my plan when we put those together to get people thinking about them. So when the spot comes on, they'll go, here's the corporal works of mercy, and people will be able to kind of recite that. Because I've learned all kinds of prayers by listening to this station. During our breaks, we do the 3 o'clock prayer. We do all the divine chaplet of mercy. I've learned all of those, and I'm hoping people will be able to memorize some of the different things from the catechism, from the spots, This Is What Catholics Believe. But I thought tonight maybe we'd talk about the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy.
Great choice.
You good with that?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All right, well, the corporal works of mercy are these kind of acts by which we help our neighbors with their material and
mm-hmm.
physical needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first one is feed the hungry.
Yeah.
Now, how do you help feed the hungry, Mark?
Well, I make a monthly donation to Catholic Charities. to their food bank. And so they send me a real nice letter every month to recognize the donation. But at the same time, they tell me how many people were fed by the charity that particular month, and how many gifts they had, and so on and so forth, which is really nice. It makes you see that that's not a singular donation you can claim credit for. You know, it's one that you're a part of and an ongoing.
Now, is that the local
Yes, Decatur.
Oh,
yes.
Great. So it stays local.
Yep, and I do it through my bank. It's painless because it comes out automatic, and I know it's coming out every month. I don't have to remember to do it. I don't have to budget for it. It just comes right out.
Well, Sherry and I take a little different tack, and we give to Food for the Poor.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, we had a missionary priest come through not too many years ago and told us how much our money would buy for different people. So about monthly, we give something to Food for the
Poor. And isn't it incredible? We think of going to the store and what our grocery bill is, and we think, good grief, you know, I couldn't afford to feed one person. But the quantities that they buy, they get it in such bulk that they are able to – I mean, it's phenomenal how little will feed one person for a month.
Yeah, and like you said, we get a handwritten letter once in a while from one of the kids that it's helped. But, like, you donate – part of your money, $7, will buy them a pig.
Yes, yes, so, it's unbelievable.
So then they can learn the skills of farming, and so it's good.
Yep.
Number two is give drink to the thirsty.
Which we just talked about at the wedding at Cana.
Yeah, yeah, you know. And
Jesus is coming out, as we could say,
coming out party.
You know, when he began his public ministry.
And my favorite part of that gospel is when the Blessed Mother says to him, and message we should all listen to is, do whatever he tells you.
Absolutely.
So give to the thirsty. Clothe the naked is another one of the corporal works of mercy. I donate, I hate to say this, I donate a lot of clothes to the different places around town because my size changes.
Yeah, well, I was getting ready to say, you could cover infants all the way up.
I can go from large to triple X, depending on what season of my diet it is. And
I'm still saving that stuff, brother. I just yo-yo all over the place.
Well, I do too. I do too. So I give quite a bit of clothing and things like that, Catholic Charities, and Salvation Army's another good one.
Yes.
The fourth corporal work of mercy is shelter the homeless. My mom and dad, once a month, go down to the Oasis.
Yeah.
And they take them several pounds of coffee, sample-type things of shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste. Once a month, they go down there and give to those folks, you know, because the Oasis there on Cerro Gordo Street is where people, homeless people, can go in and clean up and take a shower and sit throughout the day and be comfortable, and it's a nice setup. We gave a bunch of stuff here from WDCR. I can't remember. It was something from the race that we had a bunch of that we took down. Another way to help the homeless, and also there are numerous homeless shelters here in town that people can donate money to. And it's kind of funny, Mark, you and I being police officers for so many years, the homeless in Decatur aren't necessarily out on the streets where you can see them all.
That's
the time.
Right.
It's kind of a hidden homeless situation.
It is.
And I remember once a year they do a count, and that's coming up pretty soon, how many homeless people there are. And I'm not sure what definition they use for homeless, but it's amazing how many people do not have a bed to lay their head in at night.
And you spoke of our career. When I was a police chief, I actually was a member of the board of directors of Oasis and worked with, had the great fortune of working with Nancy Rude, who was their executive director, and God rest her soul, she's passed now.
Yeah.
But what a beautiful lady inside and out, and all of her hard work.
Yeah. Who runs that now? It's the mental health agency downtown.
Yes.
Heritage. We should know that.
Yeah, we do.
The fifth corporal work of mercy is visit the sick.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the greatest joys in my life, really, is I take the Holy Eucharist to a couple nursing homes and some home visits. And I've been doing that now for almost 10 years.
A long time.
And every week it never ceases to amaze me. One of those people, someone in there, will say something so prophetic.
Yes.
So beautiful, so wonderful. I've got people that love to share their stories. They love to share their faith. I have one guy that every time he takes communion, his eyes well up and he cries. And
isn't that something?
There's a guy that's pretty deep.
Absolutely.
Deep into it.
And you know, one of the things I've experienced, Dave, in visiting the sick, and particularly in nursing homes, I don't think a time has passed when one of them didn't say, "Grab my hand, look me in the eye, and say thanks for coming to see me."
Yeah.
Now, number one, that shows how much that meant to them. But number two, it always is like a pierce of my heart to think that a simple visit, a few kind words, some encouragement, a hand-holding, looking into their eyes as they're talking, how much that means to those folks. And it's so easy for us to do that. I mean, just stop in and give
and
it themselves.
You know, if you don't know people there, the staff is very helpful.
Absolutely.
Give me a name of somebody that doesn't get many visits.
That's right. And
I'm telling you, that's what Jesus would do.
Oh, sure it is.
The next one is visit the imprisoned. And I'm not so sure that they mean we have to go to prison and visit people. I mean, that's probably part of it. We got a lot of people in this society that are imprisoned in their own minds or in their own homes or in their own neighborhoods. Maybe that's one you pray on, because I'm not really sure how I ever visit the imprisoned.
Well, I think you do. You did, certainly. At one time, we both did. You know, one of the things we don't often think about is when you arrest somebody, they're in prison from that point forward. I mean, you know, until they make bond. Mm-hmm. And so the way you talk with them, the way you treat them, the way you relate to them during the booking process, I mean, the whole procedure of arrest on for us anyway, we certainly were ministering to them. And how many times did you have somebody who was brokenhearted, they were under arrest and emotional and so forth, and you explaining to them it was a bump in the road. You know, you can get past this, but look at what you need to do not to end up here again.
I wonder how many people over the years that took that advice.
I don't know,
recidivism rate's pretty high, and we saw a lot of them, but I'm sure that hopefully someday we'll see the fruits of those good works and maybe some of the counseling of the imprisoned that we were able to give.
Yep.
And the final one of the corporal works of mercy is bury the dead.
Yes.
And, you know, showing respect to a person's life is important.
Yes, it
is. My wife has been struggling with this week. In fact, today she went to a funeral of one of her best friends that passed away from an extremely rare lung condition.
Oh, my gosh.
58 years old.
Oh, my.
She'd beaten it once. We prayed the chapel of divine mercy for her, and we beat it with the Lord's help once. But the second time, it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so showing the honor of going to the visitation and being with the family, showing the respect for the dead, and putting them in holy ground somewhere so that on the day of the resurrection, their flesh will be restored and they'll be raised to new life.
Absolutely. And comforting, as you said, comforting the family is another way of burying the dead.
Yeah. Now, just on a brief note, you know, the church does now allow cremation. So the thing is that the cremains have to be interred.
That's
kept
right.
Kept together and interred.
Right.
They can't be thrown to the wind or dropped in Lake Michigan.
Right.
Even though I'm sure God can figure that out too. But that's just another way of burying and respecting the dead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, let's take a second here and hear from Father Nick on a Just a Minute, Father. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll discuss the spiritual works of mercy.
Okay.
Images of Integrity from the book A Hidden Wholeness by Parker J. Palmer. Open quote. I pay a steep price when I live a divided life, feeling fraudulent, anxious about being found out, and depressed by the fact that I am denying my own selfhood. The people around me pay a price as well, for now they walk on ground made unstable by my dividedness. How can I affirm another's identity when I deny my own? How can I trust another's integrity when I defy my own? A fault line runs down the middle of my life, and whenever it cracks open, divorcing my words and actions from the truth I hold within, things around me get shaky and start to fall apart. Wholeness does not mean perfection. It means embracing brokenness as an integral part of life. Knowing this gives me hope that human wholeness, mine, yours, ours, need not be a utopian dream if we can use devastation as a seedbed for new life. Unquote.
Mark, do you you know why I use that bump music?
I certainly do, to commemorate our good friend, the singer there.
Yeah, Glenn Frey from the Eagles passed away this week. Man, the Eagles had some great music.
And, you know, that's one of those bands that any song that comes on, immediately you get a smile on your face.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes us back to the time where those were top of the charts.
Yeah, our high school and college days.
Yep.
Thank God we made him through those. Anyway.
Somebody was praying for us, trust me.
Mark, the spiritual works of mercy are acts of compassion by which we help our neighbors with their emotional and spiritual needs.
Mm-hmm.
The corporal works of mercy were acts in which we helped our neighbors with their material and physical. Now we're going to talk about their emotional and spiritual needs.
Sounds good.
Okay, the first spiritual work of mercy is counsel the doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hopefully that's kind of what we do here at WDCR by the programming that Relevant helps us present.
Right.
You and I do our little show. We're both involved in ministries at our parishes. And I have people occasionally will ask me questions about the faith.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's important to know your apologetics.
Absolutely.
And to know how to find the right answer if somebody pops one on you that you're not real sure about. And people love to do that, especially
sure
somebody who
wants to debate.
Yeah, or has somebody that has a radio show that thinks they know everything.
Yeah, there
you
go.
Somebody will pop one on you about the praying to the saints and
sure.
all of that stuff. It's always good to you counsel them gently.
Yes.
You know, you're never going to win a debate about faith.
No.
You have to counsel gently, just like you would in kind of in a debate class where you show your point of view and always, what does Father Swetland say? Always affirm, seldom deny.
And right.
So, counseling the doubtful.
Well, and it's part of the evangelization that the Pope has asked us to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we all know the doubtful, and sometimes, you know, we're all doubtful.
Sure.
You know, we go through tough times, and it's good to have someone to talk to you and be able to pep you back up. About your faith. Everybody goes through dry times.
That's right. Look at Mother Teresa and her diary. I mean, how shocking, I guess, it was to all of us to find she had these long periods of spiritual dryness.
Yeah, the what you call it, the long night of darkness?
Darkness, yeah.
Boy. So even holy people that are about to become saints occasionally do that. And that's when we step in and try to help counsel the doubtful. Number two is instruct the ignorant.
Yes.
And it's amazing to me that when you sit and if you're lucky enough to have a conversation with a fellow Christian, how people have misinterpreted what the Catholic Church says.
Oh, my. Constantly.
You know, Bishop Fulton Sheen once said that there aren't 100 people in the United States that hate the Catholic Church, but there's millions that hate what they think about the Catholic
That's right.
Church. And there again, you gently instruct the people that don't know.
Yes.
And so often, once you do that, you can kind of see the light bulb come on in their head, and they realize we're not so far apart as people think.
And I think that the term ignorant, from the time that the church first used that, has taken on a negative connotation to mean someone who's not capable of thinking on their own or somebody who is of lowered intelligence, and that was never what the term was meant.
Right.
It was for those who didn't know.
Yeah.
They just had not had exposure.
Right. The next one is admonish sinners. Sometimes you kind of feel like maybe it's hard to admonish sinners because there before the grace of God go I, or the pot calling the kettle black.
And the virtue of humility.
Yeah. One in particular, I have a friend I play golf with, and if he hits a bad shot, he utters a phrase that, you know, it just, I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
And I have told him on numerous occasions, I wish you wouldn't do that.
Uh-huh.
Well, just because I wish he wouldn't do it doesn't mean he quit doing it. But one day I said, you know the commandments, right? You know the commandments that God said. And one about taking the Lord's name in vain. Boing. you know, the light bulb came on, and he'll still occasionally slip, but as soon as he does, he looks right at me.
He says, see if you were listening.
Yeah, it's a habit. I said, okay, yep. It is a habit. And right. Being it a habit, it's probably not a mortal sin.
That's right, because it's not preconceived.
You know, it is something that you can control.
That's right. It takes a lot of work, though.
Yeah, so that's, you know, a gentle admonishment.
Yes. Which should always be gentle, because otherwise it's immediately a turnoff for the person who hears it.
An attack or, who are you to tell me?
Yeah.
But there again,
humility comes into play there again.
Right. And I've learned with these spiritual works of mercy, everything needs to be done with love and kindness and gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win any battles by grabbing somebody by the shirt and saying, quit cussing.
Yeah.
You know, quit taking the Lord's name in vain. How come you're not going to Mass this week?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So admonishing sinners. Another thing about admonishing sinners, if you haven't been to the sacrament of reconciliation and to confession, you need not be going to communion if you have mortal sin on your soul.
Yes.
So admonishing in a gentle way to remind people that you have to confess your sins so that you go before God in a state of sanctifying grace. Very important.
Yes.
So those of you out there that have children or friends or family that come back once a year and go to communion, it might be something you just wanted to discuss with them. The fourth one is comfort the afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
That I think deals with people that have certain afflictions that we are capable of dealing with. Obviously, we're not psychiatrists, doctors, priests,
That's right.
any of that. But people can be afflicted with depression. People can be afflicted in different manners of sin. And I think we all know somebody that needs some sort of comforting. And
sure.
Many times I find comforting the afflicted can just be let them talk.
Absolutely. Listen.
Let them talk and be
listening.
A listener and don't interrupt and be a good listener. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth.
That's right.
Forgive offenses. That's a hard one.
Yes, it is.
It follows right on along with the next one. Bear wrongs patiently.
Yes.
I have always been one of those kind of people that if you do something to me, I want to figure out what I can do back to you to make you feel
even the score.
How you made me feel.
Yeah, right.
You know, well, after going through these spiritual works of mercy and really praying and thinking about them, forgiving offenses and bearing wrongs patiently is that's a really big.
Yep.
Sometimes you have to bite your tongue till you're bleeding.
That's a huge exercise in humility.
Yes, it is. And that was the one thing when I left the police department was I truly was going to work on my humility, because I was pretty prideful when I was a cop. I had a gold badge and a lot of power and authority.
Right.
And when I retired, I really had to work
on
developing my humility.
Well, we spent so many years having to exercise that authority.
Yeah.
And getting evaluated based on the fact that we did, in fact, do what our oath that we swore to on day one to uphold.
Yeah, and you know, some people, when it comes to authority, woo.
Yeah.
You give somebody a little authority that doesn't deserve
man.
It. You got
problems. My. Yep.
And the final spiritual work of mercy, which is helping our neighbors with their emotional and spiritual needs, is pray for the living and the dead.
Yes.
Offering our prayers for those who have no one to pray for them in purgatory.
Yep.
Praying for people that haven't found the Lord yet. Although we know he finds them, it just takes time.
Right.
But we should pray for the living and the dead, pray for the repose of the souls of those that have gone before us, our families, our friends, even our enemies, maybe even more so our enemies. We need to keep them in our prayers. The goal is to get everybody to heaven.
That's
everybody.
Right. Everybody.
You know, everybody. All right. So those are the corporal works of mercy and the corporal works spiritual works of mercy. You'll hear those occasionally on the air on This Is What Catholics Believe, brought to you by The Cradle and The Convert throughout the day. Mark, we got about a minute left.
All
I want to mention that Friday, the 22nd of January, will be the March for Life in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And a group of Millikan students are going with the diocese on this March for Life, and that group's headed by Quinn Hussey,
right.
Our friend that was on the
show. Yeah, he's been on.
Yep. He will be with us on the 22nd. On February 2nd.
All right.
To talk about
good deal.
The March for Life, and he's going to bring one of the students with us, with him. And next week we have Brad Sweeney, the chief of police.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Talk about a little community policing and what's going on in the city of Decatur as far as public safety and law enforcement. Okay, that's just about wraps it up for tonight, folks. Stay warm and get those shovels tuned up for in the morning. Hopefully we won't need them too much. Mark, what prayer would you like to lead us in this evening to close the show?
Oh, gosh, how about the memorare?
I got it. Go ahead.
All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly into thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I run, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Hey, friends, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. This is Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew from The Cradle and the Convert. Have a good one.
Good night, y'all.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.